Good morning,
Good
Ken
morning.
Wright. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
All right, well, you're now CNC Educational Services.
That's right.
After long time in education, you're still in education
Yeah.
and industry. So we're interested in hearing about what you're doing now and what you've been doing in the past as well. What's going on now with you, Ken?
Well, right now I'm working on a project, a training scenario for a company up in past Big Rapids.
Okay.
In fact, they're very close to where 131 ends four lane and it goes back down to two lane. I did some training back there at this company in 2018, and they called me up. They need more. They've got some new employees that they need trained.
What kind of machines do they have?
They have primarily all Haas mills. They have some lathes in there too of different models, but it's a big booming company. It was at one time totally family owned, and then one of their customers basically bought them out.
Is that right?
And but the family is still running the business. It's run
Okay.
by a woman,
Okay.
okay, and it's and by the way, her dad and I had a conversation back in 2018, and he says, "Don't kid yourself. These girls," he has a couple of daughters there. They started out at 14 years old running centerless grinders.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
So they're
Well,
just, they've got a lot of good on the floor experience.
yeah. Well, that's going to be a question I want to talk about later, is how early we can get people involved in this industry. But what kind of company are they? Who do they supply to, and
Okay,
how big are?
they make couplings and power takeoffs for small tractors like Kubotas and no, and I know it's a brand name, but
Right.
small tractors of that size.
Okay. All right. And they've been in business a long time,
Yes.
and they, how are they doing as far as CNC operators? Do they need any, or do
Well,
they?
that's it. That they just hired a bunch and they need some now good solid foundational training, and that's where I come in. That's where I
Okay.
came in last time.
What kind of experience do they have coming in?
I
Can they?
have no idea. In fact, right now, the people that have been there, they may have been there 90 days, maybe 120 days.
Okay.
But what I did is I sent them out a test. So I'm going to find out here within the next week where they are, where they're not.
That's right. Okay. All right. Well, with your company here, you're doing a lot of training with different companies. You have been for about the last 10 years, right?
Well, actually, since I actually before I left the college,
Okay.
but my primary customer is the Haas Factory Outlet here in Michigan, and the headquarters is in Flat Rock, and they another have another office and a showroom in the Grand Rapids area,
Okay.
and so my time is split between here in Flat Rock and in Grand Rapids treating their new customers or new employees to current customers.
Okay.
And we offer, or I offer, about six different classes.
Okay. And manufacturing is keeps you busy here in Michigan,
Oh,
right?
yeah. Oh,
You know.
yeah.
So,
Yeah.
okay. Haas, I know that you were a Haas location at your Henry Ford College
In
during.
fact, yeah,
Go ahead.
excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah.
Henry Ford Community College was the first Haas Technical Education Center in the state of Michigan.
Okay. Great.
Numero uno.
All right. They're still going strong,
Well, they've had some issues there, but things are starting to get straightened out.
All right. Well, here's what our audience is a lot of educators as well. So how did I don't know if I want to know the year, but you've gone through a lot of manufacturing. How did you start in teaching? And when and
Oh,
what?
well, Tom, I gotta be honest with you. Some people might call me atypical
Okay.
because in the ninth grade, I knew what I wanted to do. Now, you got to remember, here's a guy that went 8 years to parochial school.
Okay. All right. I know it well.
Yeah.
I did
and,
too.
And then I went over into the public school system. But a thing that kept just kind of bouncing around in the back of my head is from the dinner table at home, where my dad worked with a lot of apprentices as a journeyman machine repairman at the Ford Rouge stamping plant. And he always says, get a good trade or get a good education. I actually did them both.
Right.
And so I just kind of focused myself since that time about doing that. And from that first machine shop, making that little punch on the lathe.
All right. Where was that? Where did you go to high
school? That was at Maples Junior High School.
Okay. In what city?
In Dearborn.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Dearborn.
Okay.
And then from there, I went to Fortson High School, where I took all the machine shop classes through my entire time there.
Okay.
And made some good friends, and we still bump into each other here and there.
Okay.
A lot of us are already retired, but I flunked retirement. That's why I'm still doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
And then I went to Ferris. I went to Ferris State. In fact, 6 days after I had graduated from Fortson, I was at the Machine Tool Technology Program up at Ferris.
Okay.
And all from right. there, I got my associate degree basically in machine tool technology and came back home, started an apprenticeship at a place called Peak Industries in Dearborn, Michigan.
Okay.
And at the same time, was going to Wayne State University to get my bachelor's degree and eventually my master's degree in technical education.
Okay. Well, and did you work in industry before getting into teaching?
Oh, yeah. Well, my apprenticeship.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, go ahead.
Some people have asked me, well, how'd you get this? Well, I've never done one thing at the same time. My first teaching assignment was in Taylor. Okay. Taylor Junior High teaching industrial arts.
Okay.
Well, back then in the early 70s, you know, one day Taylor was cornfields, the next day was houses with a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. Well, instead of buying all these trailers and everything, like a lot of school districts do, Taylor decided they could meet the state qualification for hours in the classroom by actually splitting the day. I worked the afternoon shift from 1 to 6 o'clock.
Really?
And they had a morning from 7 to noon. There were no study halls or lunch periods and stuff like that. So in the morning, I'd go, because the job shop that I worked at, I used to work from 6 to 10 in the morning and go home, grab a shower and a sandwich, and then go to teach.
Okay.
And then one semester, because I was working on my master's. And then one semester after I got married, I decided I want to get my master's before we have any children. And I was actually taking 12 hours of graduate school in that whole scenario.
Really?
That was a little test.
Wow, I bet. You keep going strong still. I know you don't waste too much time. So. No,
and I started a little shop in my garage with a Bridgeport, a surface grinder, a cutoff saw, and a three-phase converter.
Wow. Wow. All right. So how long did you teach in the junior high school?
I taught, 2 years in the junior high, and then they opened a new high school at that time. And I taught 2 years there. And in that last year, that fourth year, I had an opportunity to be an adjunct at Henry Ford Community College, which turned into a full-time position. And I was there a total of 36 years.
Wow. That's and have seen it grow. I've seen that program now, working with Ford there in Dearborn as well.
Oh, yeah. So. They've always worked with the apprentices for Ford, GM, and Chrysler.
Right. So are you connected there at all now? No. Okay. All right. I know Haas still has their location there but you work out of their factory outlet in Flat Rock. So, tell me about how that developed over 36 years. You must have seen a lot of different things in manufacturing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started out with paper tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What is that?
The punch paper tapes.
Okay.
Because CNC didn't develop really until we had the chip, the microchip, which, as you well know, it literally changed our lives.
Right.
Okay. And so that's what I started at when I was at Ferris, and then, you know, dabbled a little bit continually because machine shops didn't have a lot of that stuff yet. And then eventually when I went to Henry Ford, they had a Pratt & Whitney Series A, I think, and C or NC, numerically controlled, because everything had to be done on the side. There were no processors, just readers of the tape. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you looked at it and stood in front of it from the chest up, it looked like a Pratt & Whitney drill press.
Yeah.
Because you manually had to bring down the Z-axis when it got to a location to drill or tap your hole or whatever.
Okay. So in that time period, I mean, I know Haas's and other CNC machines have upgraded and how has that affected the automotive industry and industry in general?
Oh, it's been a boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole thing about next day, okay?
Right.
That is a lot more possible than it was back in the day, if you will.
Right. Okay.
In some cases, customers talking to these different companies, you know, price matters, but sometimes delivery matters more.
Right, right. Well, so you were right there around Dearborn for a long time, Rouge plant, Henry Ford.
Yeah.
So what kind of skills do you learn in the CNC machining industry? I mean, what metrology is one thing you have to develop as well, measurement.
Yeah. Quality.
Yeah.
And math.
Math. That's what I was going to say. What kind of things go on with math? Can you learn math through machining rather than go do a book?
Yes.
All right. What kind of?
Because of the fact that now we can do what the numbers say we can do.
Ah.
And if anybody says you can learn feeds and speeds on a Bridgeport mill, I will argue that point with them. Okay. To a certain extent, yeah, you get a feel for it. But now, all those numbers that we used to calculate, we can use them now. Cutting tool manufacturer, there was a point where cutting tool manufacturers were anywhere from 5 to 10 years ahead of the machine tool industry.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And now they've all caught up.
Okay.
Yeah. No. There was a time, it's interesting you asked me that question, Tom, because there was a time when a former governor in this state decided that you needed more math, which is good, but you also needed language and some of these other things. And they were getting rid of all the drafting classes, even art classes in some cases, and those kinds of things. Well, I had a meeting it was a combination of head counselors and principals at Henry Ford Community College, because I wanted to say, look, this is what we're doing in like the CNC area, and you guys have maybe one machine there or tabletop, whatever the case might be. And when the meeting was over, they all basically said, we never realized all the mathematics. So basically, I don't want to say I saved it, but I put a big dent in that whole concept about getting rid of it. And so in a lot of cases, a math teacher would team up with a teacher in the industrial area and go through specific mathematic formulas and stuff, and then take them out and use them.
Really? Okay.
And trig, we use right angle trig like you breathe air.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the things we're battling and have been battling all over for a long time. So
yeah, it's application.
Right. Okay.
I can remember one student, and I could age him perfectly.
Yeah.
At the end of a class, introductory to CNC, I started just to kind of give him an insight of what the next class was going to deal with. And all of a sudden, from the back of the room, The student said, now I know what she was talking about 10 years ago.
Okay. Right.
You know, okay. All of a sudden, because I said, okay, here's the edge of a workpiece. Here's the tangency with the cutter. Now we got to figure out where we got to tell that cutter to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did a quick little problem. And all of a sudden it came to light to him, and I'm sure others, because most of the math that you or I have taken, unless it was a shop math type of class in whatever discipline, nothing was ever applied. It was all theoretical.
That's right. Right? I mean, exactly.
Not that theoretical math is, you know, not important, but the fact is when you apply it, you can see it. Because one of the things that my teaching showed me is when I started to introduce some learning software on the computer, I realized that these young people that, and I'll just give a date, that were born in the late 70s and early 80s, were learning by pictures. And I did some research, and I've given a couple of talks on it, where people, because everything are icons and pictures, right? Okay,
right.
When you really think about it on the computer, okay? Well, that picture is like a magnet. It stays in their brain. And now the theory behind what they're trying to do, the sentences, the words, the paragraphs, sticks to that magnet.
Right.
Okay? One of the things I have a real problem with is when people say, oh, you're working with your hands. No, not at all. Because if my brain doesn't work, my hands aren't going to work.
Right.
Okay? They're just tools.
Right. That's right. Well, you know, you bring up some things that we've been talking about as the education system is set up for math to take the geometry sandwich around algebra courses inside of algebra. And we're trying to figure a way to do that more, just like you said, get the math teacher involved with the shop teacher and teach, you can get more advanced. So,
oh yeah. I mean, you know. I go, when I teach a section in trig, now I don't for the Haas classes. Okay. Right. But like this class, these classes coming up that I'm doing in-house at a company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll be teaching some right angle trig. So what I'll start with is a circle.
Okay.
Okay. And just talk about some plain geometry kind of things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
About two parallel lines, about two intersecting lines and the angles they make.
Right.
And some, in most cases, it kind of refreshes our, oh yeah, I learned that in high school.
You know? Right.
But in truth, I actually start out with absolute and incremental. The difference between the two. I mean, I've had people in classes that say, oh yeah, I know the difference. I didn't even study that. Well, it comes to light when we start to actually in a class write a simple program, they don't understand absolute and incremental.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me again. And what I figured out, I know what the cause of it is. I'd like to take digital readouts and destroy them. Okay.
Right.
Because what I found that these guys will make a move from a zero point, X amount of inches or whatever, and then zero it out again.
Right.
And then move to the next spot. That's incremental.
Right. Okay. So, well, if, do you get called by schools at all these days?
I have, because there are some things that have happened that shouldn't have happened.
Okay.
People get grants. There was a school, and I'm not going to mention the school's name, but it was in north of where I'm sitting right now.
Okay.
Northville.
Right.
And they got dumped on them to start a STEM project, two Haas machines, brand new machines. They had no idea what to do with them.
Right.
None whatsoever.
That happens in a lot of areas with what we're doing. We're trying to get CNC machine robotics.
Tom, the problem is that these people don't even know what they need.
Right, they don't.
I wish they would give. In fact, I told these salesmen, hey, give them my name and number, and I'll be happy to come and consult with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I walked into this high school, and the machines were set up, and I looked around, and I says, folks, the first thing you got to do is move these machines. And they're looking at me. I said, teaching-wise, you're in a dangerous situation. Okay?
Right.
Their view was blocked by the back of the machines.
Yeah.
You got to be in a classroom and have it set up in such a manner that you can look any place and there's no blind spots. You know what everybody's doing. What's happening at the machine?
You know, that's, I've seen that too. I went into a classroom and there was a machine in the corner. I said to the students, learn how to run that and you can have a job this summer. And the teacher said, we don't know how to turn it on, you know. So
what I mean. That's what I mean. No. So, I have a number of teachers, though, that do come in to the Haas training classes because they're customers.
Right.
And they take several of my classes.
So really, you are involved. Right.
In that sense, yeah.
Right. Haas is big with the Haas Foundation. They're getting a lot of equipment into a lot of schools. So
right. That's
a good thing. So you brought up before that the daughters or the leaders of the company started at 14 on the shop floor.
Yeah.
So if I took a class, if I'm in high school and take some classes in Haas or wherever I can do it,
yeah.
Can I get a job when I'm 18 or, you know,
on right a shop? Now I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because of the fact that, and the thing, well, here, I'll go back to something, but the thing is, you know, I'm 74 years old.
All right.
Okay. We got the baby boomers. Two things are happening. They're retiring or dying off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds cruel, but that's a fact of life.
Okay.
I was in a shop on the east side of Detroit doing a little in-house training. And I was talking to the foreman and he said, they are in such dire need. They got one of their tool makers had retired. Okay. He's 80 years old. He comes in a couple of days a week to help them out. I mean, what does that say?
Right. That's right. Well, so who are these people supplying? What's a CNC job? Because they're so in demand, are they supplying the automotive industry? Are they supplying
everybody.
Okay. And what are they supplying them with?
Parts.
Okay. Just, okay. So
parts, whatever. You know, somebody told me, and it stuck with me years ago, unless it comes out of the water or out of the ground, we're one step away from material removal.
Okay.
Everything's got to be machined in one way, sense, or form.
Right.
Okay. I don't care. Well, look at what you're doing. That headset you have on, Tom, somebody had to make the mold.
Right. That's right.
Okay. The glasses we wear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
The furniture behind you.
Right.
We have a big furniture contingent on the west side of Michigan.
Yes. It's a big industry.
Yes.
Right.
There are extruded parts that they do. The west side of the state, I find, my experience is they do a lot of work for EVs.
Okay. Yeah. And more are coming here. So,
oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's say I go to the high school here or the local college. Schoolcraft is close to me. They've got Haas machines. I work on them
I help them get started.
Okay. Well, they're growing too. I just think that the students and the parents just don't know the opportunities of industry and what's going on because, anyway, how much am I going to make when I start as a CNC operator? What are they making now?
It depends.
All right.
And depends on the size of the shop and, the monetary things going on in the shop. But you might say $12 to $15 an hour.
Okay.
In some cases, they may say to you, look, we're going to start you at 12. And
right.
In 30, 60, or 90 days, we're going to, review, see how you're doing. And we're going to, and if you're doing well, we're going to boost you up, especially with somebody with no real experience.
Right. Okay.
An issue that we have too is the title of CNC operator.
Okay.
I can take you to three shops, and in one shop, basically, and this is a lot of learning too going on, but the person might start out just as loading and unloading parts. Take you to another shop, that same person might be loading and unloading and have some quality duties applied with it, you know, some gauge work or whatever, you know, checking the parts. I take you to a third shop, and basically they call an operator, somebody that they hand a print to, and that operator has got to do everything, okay? Cut the stock, build the fixture if necessary, program it, run the parts, and check the parts.
All right, so there's so as you did when you were young, I mean, one of the things that could happen, as I went to I went to college at Eastern Michigan University, and at one point I had a job on the assembly line at Wayne. Yeah. And so you're going to basically work your way through college. If you want to, you could get a job in a shop and still go to college as well.
Right? That was my experience. The people that hired me knew what I wanted to do, and they did everything. In fact, they said, "We want you to work around school."
Okay.
What an opportunity. I was blessed.
Yeah.
There were some really good people.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things, and I'll be interested to hear about your research to find out what kind of experience these people have at the place you're going to now. Because I think they're looking for people as much as they can, and they'll train them. What do you see as far as shortages in the industry, maybe even shortages in the schools? Have you noticed educator shortages and training shortages?
Yeah. So, the thing is that you don't find a lot of teachers with a lot of experience, or even a little bit of experience. And in some cases, as you mentioned earlier, all of a sudden, you know, teacher turns around and you know, there's a rigger delivering a CNC mill to them of whatever kind. You
right.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and go, well, what am I going to do with this?
Right, right.
Okay.
So we have to get in I work with the Livonia Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. here, and the industry around here, I don't know if I told you about this, it's called the I-275 Industrial Council.
Okay.
Because companies like Roush and Bosch, yeah. and you know, they're looking for skilled labor, and they can't find it. You know, one of the things that we brought up is that 16% of the bartenders in Livonia have a bachelor's degree, and
we want to read.
We want to train them in a skill. So we're working towards trying to get that kind of thing involved, but it's still a battle we've been probably battling for 50 years, right?
Oh yeah, or more.
Yeah. So, okay.
I mean, at one time, a friend of mine told me, Henry Ford Trade School put out more millionaires than MIT and whatever. Well,
really?
That's changed with the dot-com era.
Right, right.
Okay, of course. But yeah.
All right. You see it for how do you see industry itself in the near future? Do you see more manufacturing coming to Michigan and around the country?
Yeah. In fact, that's interesting. A gentleman by the name of Bob Skazinski, who used to be the chief operating officer at Gerotech, which is the Haas HFO. He's since retired.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big advocate of education. We saw the issue of teachers not knowing anything about CNC. And this is through his experiences, probably more than mine, because he was visiting these schools. And so we started the first teacher training.
Okay.
And going along with your question, we started at Henry Ford Community College during the summer. We had people coming from all over.
Really?
From Canada.
Ah.
And one of the things I remember, we had a gentleman from South Carolina come up. And I said, wow, you came a long way. He said, well, I was told you want to learn about manufacturing, you come to Michigan.
Yeah. Well, I know Bob, and he's, are they carrying on with that? They do them all over the country now, right?
Yeah. They do it more. Yeah. So he and I spurred the first thing. And I still remember the break of the first day with a group of probably 8 teachers. Okay. On an early morning, we started at 8 o'clock. We had a break about 10:30. I called Bob up and I said, Bob, we got trouble. And he said, what's wrong? I says, these guys literally don't know anything. And what I started to review, because I'm thinking, well, these guys know some, so I'll start a review. It was my basic college class.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
surprised?
Yeah. Well, a little bit. I mean,
some of these guys were teaching CNC that had already started, and they didn't have any idea. And I'm going, oh my God. So right away I changed gears and started back at the basics. And as I would in my first introduction to CNC class with these guys. Yeah. And then we worked that way. Now they grabbed on quickly, but the fact is that's where they were.
Okay. It there seems to be a disconnect. I mean, it's huge because so many companies want to do some things, and the school systems are set up in their own way that
Well, that's another one of my swords I carry. They need to change.
Right. Okay.
They need to go. And I'm not just talking about industrial classes. I'm even talking about science classes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They need to change more to a competency-based system.
Well, and we're better in community colleges than we are in high schools for sure. Yeah. Right. But that's, I mean, that's more what you're talking about is high schools, right?
Everybody.
Okay.
You know, I mean, certain levels will dictate certain competencies. Correct?
Right. That's right.
You know, so yeah. I mean, and this not only goes, excuse me, I'm sorry. It not only goes to the high schools, but it goes to these organizations that certify school systems.
Mm-hmm.
They have to understand what's going on.
Right. That's the thing that we're trying to work with Lansing, with the Department of Education, with the with the CTE divisions, to say here's what we have to do. Actually, our school system right now was developed in 1892 and hasn't changed. So
that's
in
right.
in the middle schools, there you get an elective, and you know, it's either take band. Spanish or French, or you can take a STEM course. Now they don't call it industrial arts, right?
I know.
And
that's all right.
So right, exactly. I mean, some good programs. I was up in Ann Arbor. 100% of their students are in STEM programs there, but they're still not necessarily reaching to the manufacturing type of things that we need to do.
Oh, I know.
So how do we do it? What do we do? What?
They got to wake up.
Okay.
Okay. They need to understand the real world. Because as we mentioned earlier in our conversation here, okay, if we can now start to deal with the mathematics of it and apply that mathematics, I think people will really take it, you know, you'll stop to hear, when am I ever going to use that?
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's been going on for a long time as well. How am I going to, what do I need to learn this for?
That's right.
And
I mean, even so much as English goes and writing to write clear and concise reports.
Right. That's right. Well, I'm going to have to bring you in on some of these things that we have. It seems like we have these committees put together, every few years to try to figure out what to do, it hasn't seemed to change anything. So
no, there's got to be. I mean, you know, we see a lot of automation now, okay,
right.
More and more. And it's not just necessarily automation relative to robots. By the way, who's going to make the end of arm grabber, right?
Is that right? Okay. I just saw.
Yeah. Where's that going to come from?
From the machinist, right.
Exactly. Who's going to build the multi-part fixture, okay, for that robot to load and unload?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see where I'm tying it all in?
That's right.
You know, and the STEM does some of these things with some of these nice automation systems that are available, okay? And they can all work that whole thing in with manufacturing parts. Because in some, you know, there's a lot of shop that does onesies and twosies, but there's a lot of shop doing 100 of this, 50 of that, 1,000 of this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's automation of whatever kind.
Right. All right. Well, you're going to be on the cutting edge of manufacturing for the next 20 years. So,
that would be interesting. Let me put it this way. When I don't enjoy this anymore and I'm not learning myself and having fun, that's the time for me to get my butt out of here.
Right. Because
when I can't give that person sitting on the other side of the desk for me 110%, then it's showtime. Elvis is going to leave the building.
There you go. Okay. Well, what about some of the people you're dealing with in training, the more experienced ones? The teachers that are in there now don't have the training. Have you ever worked with some people in industry that might want to become educators as well?
Oh, they may have, but I don't know.
Okay, because that was one of the things I brought up. Yeah. I said, look.
Well, the other thing there is a pay issue.
Okay.
When I was in the process of retiring from Henry Ford, I had two excellent candidates that were both former students that both went on, got their engineering degrees, were making good money. In fact, the one said to me, he said, you know, Ken, I'm getting married. I'm going to start a family probably. I can't take a $30,000 pay cut.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess what I'm thinking of is maybe engineers or operators that are, you know, working at Bosch or Roush.
They got to have experience on the machine.
Right. They'd have experience on the machine, but they could teach adjunct maybe. Maybe they could.
And to start out to see if they like that.
And training. Right. I get the feeling, I know I taught some business courses at Washtenaw and Schoolcraft and it's not an easy job. So
yeah. Look at that. They got the summer off, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So I got some friends in the trades and I said, look, you've got enough experience to teach. But I get the idea that they have a little fear of the fact that they've got to go and do something, you know, 3-hour, 4-hour class and teach something. So,
you know, there's a lot of, I had one, this happened to me once as a student, and this was when I was working on my master's degree. I had an elective class, okay? And I took this class, it was an industrial type of class, and you knew the person up at the front of the room had a wealth of information, but didn't know how to give it out.
Yeah, right, that's right. So, you know, those are things that we continue to battle with in education. So it seems to, we're doing things and dollars are coming to education now a lot. We've had some changes. We're trying to ask the educators to change you know, the entire curriculum, to, you know, the whole process of what you're doing in order to set up for what's going on with industry. And we see some of it happening. We'd like to see a lot more. So is that what you see as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah. One of the things that when I teach in industry, like this company I'm working with currently, you know, a past client of mine, I try as best as possible to, in a sense, customize it, okay?
Yeah.
To their needs and use parts that they manufacture. And one of the reasons I do that, you know, it may be 25 years that since a person's been in the classroom as a student, or it may even be 5 years, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if I can present something to them that they're familiar with, their comfort level is going to go up.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right.
With comfort comes confidence, and with confidence comes competency.
Right.
Like three C's.
Well, you know, you proved it and done it well for many years. So all right, we're getting to close to,
yeah,
a lot of time here we've been talking. What have we missed? Anything yet? I forget. Have we anything else we can talk about that's important in industry?
Everything's important.
All right.
Yeah. People need to learn that, you know, when they're going to go for an entry-level job, that they're in another learning situation. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in some cases, and I know, and I'm talking personally, I had an associate degree.
Right.
You know what the first task I had? Deburring parts.
Yeah, okay.
And why? They wanted to see my work ethic.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's the key. I mean, no matter what you do, you got to work. You got to work at it. And yeah. I was with a bunch of high school students here, and they were taking trade classes, yet their parents and, you know, were trying to encourage them to go to college, and that's okay. I said, yeah, you know, is take engineering, take, you know, there's technical programs. The key is you're going to have to work at it. They still think that, you know, manufacturing is a cyclical thing. We're going to get laid off, or, you know, that how things have gone in automotive.
And guess what? They get laid off. They go someplace else because they got a skill now.
Right. Well, that's it. And it, if you're in management, you're going to get it too. I mean, basically, or you're not going to get into management with a management degree out of college. But if you get into a service industry or, you know, there's cyclical things there. Everybody's out of work. In the 80s, early 80s, the early 90s, you know.
I could tell you a story about that, about going someplace else.
All right.
I saw the letter. I saw the postmark on the letter.
Okay.
Young man worked at Kelsey Hayes. He was a toolmaker there.
Mm-hmm.
Things in the automotive business, because Kelsey Hayes was big, you know, of course, in wheels and such. Okay.
Right.
He was getting laid off. Mm-hmm. So he saw an application someplace, and he applied. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, it was the year that Ronald Reagan was running for president, and he was talking about increasing the military budget and things of that nature. Okay.
Right.
Well, if you remember that election, by 8:00 Eastern Standard Time, it was pretty much a done deal that he was elected.
Right.
It was 5:00 on the West Coast.
Okay.
This letter was stamped 5:00, the day of the election. And one of the aerospace companies offered this gentleman a job.
Right.
And I still remember the letter. And part of that letter said, we will take and pay for your moving costs out here. And if within 90 days, if we don't like you, or you don't like us, we'll pay for you to move back.
Okay. Wow, that's great. And so in manufacturing, moved them from Michigan to California.
Yeah. Or the West Coast anyway.
Right. Okay.
I think it was Seattle or that area.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah. Well, that's the thing that's happened. I mean, you know, people think that sometimes over those years, I've had classmates, we graduated, they had to move to Texas looking for a job because of things. But the fact is, if you got a skill, they will move you. I mean, so that's good. Okay.
No, manufacturing is around for the rest of our lives.
Right. Okay. Well, the biggest industries are manufacturing and construction. Yeah. So,
and in this state, agriculture.
And agriculture. Right. Exactly.
I mean, I had a young man in class that was working with the agriculture department at Michigan State. He went out and stuck his butt out the window for a lot of money, bought a Haas machine, and he was machining parts for a machine for the agriculture department to do some experimental farming with.
Right. Okay.
We touch every industry.
Right. You're every right. Industry. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that brings up a subject to talking about. The school system was made when we were still 90% on the farm. And so you learn your technology and machine.
That's why the school year is the way the school year is.
That's right. So that may be something else we work on. So, all right. Well, how about we kind of wrap it up? Give us some more words of wisdom before we leave, and we'll find a way to talk.
I would really like to help some of these people. Okay.
All right.
And it's not that I'm volunteering necessarily, but the fact is, it's just give them some guidance. And especially when it comes to when they start to, they get a grant to do something and they just go and they write the grants without any doing any research or talking to somebody, whether it's myself or somebody else, to give them some guidance.
Right. Okay. You know, right.
Like the high school that got these two machines dropped in on them and they didn't basically even know how to start them.
Right. Right. Okay.
It's not their fault.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll put a little section in online that talks about if the educators need this kind of information, we'll help them out. So, that's great. Okay. Well, and really what I try to tell educators as well, tie into what, tell me what industries you have in your neighborhood. And just like you said, machining touches everything. So, we can build a case for the fact that you need to get this kind of equipment and you need to teach this kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you're already in a good position, Tom, with that I-275 corridor.
Mm-hmm, right.
There's a lot of other places. On the west side of the state, there was a group that primarily deals in aerospace stuff. They formed a group.
Right.
You know, but there's still a need. And one of the things, you know, when you want to end it, right. One of the things that I don't know they have at the high school level are advisory committees like we had at the community college.
Right.
I didn't run my advisory meeting. They did.
Right. That's right. Well,
they did. They told me what we need
mm-hmm.
and would be willing to help me to achieve that goal. Okay.
Well, that's the kind of thing that's happening here a little bit, like Bosch, you know, right on the corner up here is investing in schools. They've said, here, what do you, you know, let's from the junior high school level. So, so we have some of that, but it's still not that coordinated sometimes. I mean, I'm not sure they're getting they could get better types of equipment as well. So,
you know, one of the interesting things, and if students want to go into engineering or engineering technology, that's great, but they need to understand how these machines work and what they do. Because again, personal experience, if you remember the days when GM started to divest into these other companies, or Ford went into, I forget the name of the company they divested into. Remember that?
Well, I remember GM bought EDS. Is that
Yeah, they bought EDS, but I mean, they were breaking their company into sections.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Visteon and
Barry, thank you. That was it. Visteon.
Right.
You would not believe how many engineers enrolled in my evening classes in CNC.
Okay? Really? Okay.
Because they never had the experience at the university.
Right, right. Okay.
Or they may not have been using them, but now they're dealing directly with vendors like Tom's Machine Shop,
right,
producing parts for them. They had to know how to talk to them.
Right, right. Well, that's, you know, so we have to put an emphasis on this in education. I mean, you talked about math and, you know, science is the same way. I think I mentioned to you before, we take science, we go biology, chemistry, physics, because it's an alphabetical order. That's how they set up the things. And we're trying to get any kind of a change. It's so ingrained that, we keep trying and part of what we're doing here is to try to let educators know and connect with other people as well, with industry, with there is a way to do things. So, and right. We'll help. So,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, why can't you take the kids outside in a trig class and say, all right, how tall is that flagpole?
Right.
Or
right.
If we felled that tree over here, where is it going to drop?
Right.
Where can you stand that when it drops, it'll be right at your feet?
Right. Well, exactly. Or what we're trying to do is get like the industry to create, you know, some things as far as parts are concerned, or as far as their products are concerned, and say, here's what we need to do so that they can understand. Just like you said, I've had teachers come up to me and say, we got to teach them. We've got to teach a project. We got 15 chapters to teach in this semester. How can I fit a project in? You know, I say, well, start with the project. That's is right. What you do.
And
you
work
know,
backwards.
And work backwards.
Well, that's like when I do my training, especially on the in-company or in-house type, I say, what is your end result? What do you want out of this person at this level?
Right.
And then I work backwards to build all the things I need to do so that when the class is over, excuse me again, they have the skills that they need to perform at the level that the company wants them to or needs them to at that point.
All right. As you're moving out of the way, you're exposing your Haas machine behind you. I mean, that's
my simulator, yeah.
That's a simulator, okay. I mean, is that a good thing to start with?
Can I give you the bad news now or the good
news? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Haas, because of the chip shortage, Haas no longer has these available.
Okay.
They may in a year or two, they're not sure, because it's the same chip that goes in there that goes in the machines.
Okay.
So
all right.
Make chips with that.
All right. Well,
there's no cutting tools connected to it.
Well, that's a little more advanced. Hey, we've got to get the idea into heads that we need to work in manufacturing and get those skills. It's going to benefit everybody. So,
programmable controllers.
Right.
I've been into places where the Haas controller is there and they have a programmable programmable controller controlling certain aspects of the manufacturing processes, like sensing a part in place, all the clamps are clamped, things of that nature. They're all interfaced. So it's just not one silo over here and another silo here.
Right.
No, it's one big silo.
Right.
It's got different floors.
Right. Okay. All right. All right. What can we do to help you? What can we do to help you out? I mean, you got it made. You got it made, but is there anything that we can help you with?
You know, maybe make people aware of me.
Right.
Okay. And my background and such.
Okay.
And you know, what I can do to assist them. In
all
some
right.
cases, you know, there's some professional courtesies I give to schools because my heart's there, you know?
Right.
You know, but a long-term project of whatever kind, that's another story. We'll have to look at costs because, you know.
Sure, absolutely. No, I mean, that'd be great. I mean, I'm talking to a lot of different schools around the country. There are room to advance a little bit. I'm talking to some people here in Detroit area and encouraging them to look at some other different things that can help their students. So if that's the case, we'll certainly let them know that you're available and it'd be great. It's, you know, great to see you. I haven't seen you in the last few years and we lost track. So good to catch up with you.
Yeah.
One of the couple
of things that stick out of my mind in terms of my background and what I've done is probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got an email from a former student with a picture.
Okay.
And he said, "You see all this stuff behind me? That's because of you." He's got his own business.
Right. Great. Well, that was one of the things, you know, how are you, you know, do you get that in touch with a lot of students as well over the years?
Yeah, especially those that I've had experience with at the college. In fact, a number of them that ended up over at the college, I actually initially had as doing a Haas training,
mm-hmm.
and they decided they wanted more.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, I do know some other people as well that have started their own businesses and that's great. I mean, that's really what you want to do. And your business, you had a machine shop, you worked in them, but basically what you're doing is training and service. Did you sell some of these machines as well? Was that?
I've never sold the machine.
Okay. And no. All right.
My son does, but I
okay.
don't.
All right. All right. So you got a family business there. Your son is involved.
Yeah.
All
right. In fact, the name Wright, if you trace it back to Scotland, where my grandfather came from, it's a derivative of wheelwright.
Okay. All right.
So he was a machine repairman. My father was. I took it to the next step.
All right.
My son.
Hey. All right. Well, you've let people know it's still a viable, great thing to do.
It is.
And
I was in New Orleans for 2 weeks.
Training. Were you?
Yeah. This
when?
Was years back.
Okay.
But yeah, there was a large company down there that actually, through another friend of mine, they got a hold of me at IMTS.
Okay.
And they flew me down there and, we did 2 weeks on milling and 2 weeks on turning. And the plant manager said, "You just saved me 2 years of on-the-job training."
Right. Okay. Well, are you planning to go to IMTS this year?
I'm thinking not.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
They're back in business, I guess.
I know, and it's great, and I will miss it. But I'll be honest with you. This COVID thing raising its nasty head again, and I've got some health issues that I got to deal with.
Okay.
Yeah, I just can't afford to. You know what I mean?
But your son will probably be going there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll catch up to him. Because they have a student summit there, and
that's all. That's all an outgrowth of what Bob Skaczynski and I started.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, it's, I work with the people at the Smart Force Student Summit that's what they said, that you and Bob Skaczynski and Haas and, you know, a couple others, Master Cam maybe, and some others have got involved. So, all right. Well, I'll be in touch with you soon. I appreciate you coming on and giving your advice. I think we could talk.
Thank you for the invitation.
All right. Well, we're not quite the Joe Rogan show yet, so I can't go for 3 hours, but
we could probably go all day if you really think about it.
We could. So, all right. You've given us some great advice, so I'll let you go now, and we'll catch up to you later. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.